You are listening to a podcast by Spring Hill Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Spring Hill Church is called to reach everyday people with God's grace, His unconditional love, and the life-changing power of His Word. Thanks for listening. And if you would like more information, you can visit us online at springhill.cc.
Amen. So if you want to take out your message notes, and we're wrapping up our series this morning called Start Here. And just to kind of conclude it, let me just tell you again what this series has been all about. And it's just been something that the Lord directed us to do here at the close of the summer to help maybe some of us who might be new in our walk with Jesus and we're growing in the things of God, and kind of give us some places to start. And so the first 3 weeks we spent some time looking at the Word of God and how the Word of God needs to be the most important thing in your life and be priority in your life, and all of your life needs to be oriented around the Word of God. And we spent some time talking about how to weave it into the fabric of your life so that God's Word prevails. And then the last 3 weeks, including today, we've been talking about prayer. Because if there's two foundations that you need in your life, in your walk with Jesus, it is the Word of God and it is prayer. And so we spent some time talking about prayer. And again, I'm not going to try and review everything, but go back and you can listen to the podcast and catch up. But I do want to cover some things today. And as I indicated, the Lord laid on my heart to talk to you today about how to hear from God. You know, how to hear from heaven. And so let's just jump right into it. Let's look at our foundation verse for the prayer portion of this. Has been 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, he said this, rejoice how often?
Always.
Now I want you to know something, and forgive me, I'm a teacher, so I have to comment, all right? So when the scripture says rejoice always, I want to say something to you. It doesn't mean you fake it till you make it. In other words, you don't fake a smile, all right? Now you need to smile, don't misunderstand me. But when Paul writes, of course, by the Spirit of God, and he says, rejoice always, you can have joy all the time, no matter what might be going on in your life. You can have joy whether you feel like being happy or not. Happiness and joy are two different things. Happiness is something that is basically determined by your circumstances. Joy is something that comes up out of your spirit. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit that the Lord will help produce in your life, and you can be joyful even when you don't feel like it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So again, that's the first two words of my message. Let's bow our heads and we'll go home. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. Rejoice always, he says, verse 17, pray how long? Without ceasing. So he told us, he said, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean that you get weird and spooky. It just means you maintain an attitude, an awareness of God's presence in your life. And in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so let's jump in. Let's just dive right on into this. So here's the first thing that I want you to do or write down if you're taking notes, and that is this. Prayer can and should be a two-way conversation. Prayer can be and should be a two-way conversation. Now, I know a lot of times we spend time in prayer. We pray and we might be, praying about the Word of God or praying about situations in our lives, praying about things that we're dealing with. And a lot of times we don't take the time to see if God wants to say something to us. And I just want to say this to you from the get-go. He does. He wants to talk to you. He wants to have a conversation with you. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Jeremiah writing, of course, by the Spirit said, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. I love one translation I read that said, call to me and I'll answer you and show you things you've never seen before. See, what the Lord wants to do is when we call to Him, He will answer. How would you like to, maybe pick up your cell phone and you dial somebody and you hear them answer, but they don't say anything? And it's somebody you know. It's a family member or a great friend or something like that. And you're just talking, and they never say anything. And you say, okay, great conversation, and you hang up. No, it hasn't been a conversation. It's been a one-way monologue. And so what we need to do is we need to call and then expect him to answer. Call and let him answer. John chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus said this, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. So Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And of course, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've given your heart to Jesus, he calls you one of his sheep. And then he goes on in verse 27 in that same chapter, he said this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You need to maybe someday sit down with Google and Google about shepherding and you know, leading sheep, literally the animals, and you'll learn a tremendous amount, because Jesus compares himself and says, I am the good shepherd. And it would maybe help you to understand what a good shepherd does. I saw a video one time on Facebook or something, and it was a video of a pasture, and there it was in Europe or something like that, and there was a big flock of sheep out there, and this one guy stood up, he was visiting, and he had asked the shepherd ahead of time, what do you say to call the sheep? And the shepherd had told him exactly what to do and what to say. So the guy stood up at the edge of the pasture and yelled at the top of his lungs exactly what the shepherd told him to say. And you know what? Those sheep didn't move. Matter of fact, they didn't even look up. They kept on grazing and doing whatever they were doing. And what's interesting is, as soon as this guy got through and the sheep didn't respond whatsoever, the shepherd stood up and said the exact same thing, and all of a sudden the sheep popped up and came running over to the fence where they were standing. Why? Because the sheep knew the shepherd's voice. They had heard it enough that they knew exactly when it was him that was talking to them, and they knew to respond. Now, here's the encouraging thing that I want you to get out of this message, and that is this. You can become just as familiar with the voice of Jesus speaking to you in your heart as those sheep were listening to that shepherd. And what's interesting, Jesus goes on to say that the voice of the stranger they will not follow. In other words, you can become so attuned to the voice of Jesus that when other people or things are trying to call out to you, you don't even hear them and don't even respond. And so I wanted you to be able to understand that prayer should be and can be a two-way conversation. Now, here's what we're going to do. Let me just kind of say this to you. This message is going to be a little bit different in that it's going to be like building blocks, okay? So we're going to give you line upon line, and we're going to show you some things. So here's the next thing I want you to get, and that is this. And I know this is basic. I know that we've talked about it before, but it's good for us to hear it again. Here's the thing that you need to understand. You are a, everybody say the word with me. You are a, you try it one more time. You are a. You have a, and you live in a, okay, let's try it one more time. You are a, you have a, and you live in a, okay, say it this way. I am a, no, I'll say I am, you say fill in the blank, okay. I am a, I have a, and I live in a, okay, one more time. I am a, I have a, and I live in a body. All right, so. You need to understand that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. One verse, there's many verses that talk about this, but Paul writing, he said this, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus comes again. So Paul tells us that we are a spirit, we possess a soul, and we live in a body. You are a spirit being. You're made in the likeness and image of God in that respect, in that God created mankind to be a spirit just like him. But he gave you a soul made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's not in your notes, but if you want to write it down, your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Somebody said, I thought my soul was my spirit. And I know we preachers, we talk about, you know, 13 souls got saved last night. Well, that's not exactly true. 13 people got born again, but we know what you're trying to say. All right? See, your spirit is the part of you that gets born again. Your soul is the part of you that needs to be renewed. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And then he said, and you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so, you know, I know this sounds kind of childish, but the way I like to remember it is my soul is made up of my thinker, my feeler, and my chooser. My thinker, my feeler, and my chooser. See, your thought process, your emotions, and your will, your decision making is all contained within your soul. And then, of course, all of that is contained in the body that you have. And so, again, you are a three-part being. You're not a trinity like God is. You're a triune being. A trinity is three persons in one: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three individuals in one. I know that's hard to wrap your brain around. Don't try to. Just believe it, accept it by faith. Maybe when we get to heaven, God will have a better way of explaining it. But the thing that you must understand is that you are a spirit being first. You contain or possess a soul, and you all of your spirit and your soul live in your body. Now, I've said this before, but if your body ceases to function, your spirit and your soul leave. Somebody said, but I thought Uncle Frank came and visited me last night. No, Uncle Frank didn't come visit you last night. Uncle Frank, if he has died, has either gone to one of two places. He either is spending an eternity in heaven with Jesus, or he's spending an eternity separated from God in hell. There's one of two places, and it's based on the decisions that you make now. So I know. There's all those shows, paranormal experiences, where people see stuff and they hear stuff. I can promise you, that is not a human being that's up in the attic rattling chains and stuff. All right? Are you following me? Okay. Those people are gone. Somebody said, well, what is it? Well, it's some folks that are some beings, spiritual beings called demons, that have a tendency to want to try and deceive people. Now, I'm not going to get all into that, but you do need to understand that there is a whole nother group that's trying to vie for your attention, all right, to try and get you away from Jesus. And but anyway, so I want you to know that. So you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Somebody said, I didn't know we were going to come in here ghost stories today. No, you're not. Don't worry. I'm not going to get into all that, all right? Now, maybe someday we will. But anyway, now, here's the next thing. When you were born again, when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, your spirit was made new. Your spirit was made brand new. Your spirit before Jesus was dead, was lost, was undone, and without God. But the moment, wherever that moment took place, whether it was in a church or on a street corner, wherever it might have been, in your bedroom, when you prayed and you said, Jesus, I believe with all my heart that you died for my sins. I believe you were dead, but I believe you were raised from the dead. Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. Something very supernatural and miraculous happened to you. Somehow, by the Spirit of God, God took out of you that dead spirit and put within you a brand new spirit. A brand new being. Let me read a scripture to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, in the Greek language, that phrase, new creation, means this. It means a new species of being that never existed before. In other words, you are brand new. So if you are born again, if you have made Jesus the Lord of your life, you are not the same person you were before then. You are a brand new person. He goes on to say, old things have passed away. Behold, you know what behold means, right? Some of y'all forgot. Let me remind you, because we got a little, you know, I'm a little country, okay? So behold, If you're proper, it means look. Okay? If you're from the country, it means looky him. All right? So he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Looky him. All things have become new. All right? All things have become new. So you are a new person. All right? Turn to somebody next to you and say, you're looking at a new person. Tell them this, I'm not the same person I was before Jesus. Amen. All right? Tell them this, as I've been born again. Now, I want you to, you know, maybe we don't say that phrase as often as we should, but, you know, we tell people we got saved or whatever, and that's true, but when we say it registers differently when you say I've been born again. That means that I'm not the same. I am brand new, all right? Now, again, we're building here. Are you tracking with me? Okay, here's the next thing I want you to see. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. He is not a human being. He is a spirit being. All right? Now, he has a form. He, you know, I don't know what he looks like. The Bible says no man has seen God yet. Okay, we will one day. But he, listen, God doesn't look like an old man with a long beard sitting on a throne. Okay? I just, you know, we conjure up some really interesting images of God. But God is a spirit. Say that. God is a spirit. Say it again. God is a spirit. Look at John chapter 4, verse 24, says this. Jesus speaking, by the way. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. All right, it's very important that you understand that God is a spirit. Now, here's why. Because there are phrases that we use that are true that unless you understand that God is a spirit being, you can't begin to understand. Let me give you an example. There's a word that we use called omnipresent when referring to God. And that word means that God is everywhere at the same time. He's that big, okay? And he's that powerful. He's awesome. And so God is a spirit being. And so because he is not limited by time and space like we are, he is an eternal being. He is able to be ever present everywhere at the same time. Now, I'm going to say something else to you that might kind of blow a circuit, but it's okay. All right, you'll be all right. God, because he is an eternal being, has been in your past. He is in your present and has already been in your future. Now, here's what's cool about God. God went into your future, decided what he wanted you to be in your future, came back to your past, began to order your steps so that in your present he can be here and begin to guide you and lead you so that you can fulfill your destiny that he's already planned for you. The scripture talks about that God has foreordained things for us. And so that's what it means, is that God is so big, he's so mighty, he's so eternal that he can go into your future, be there, and then be here at the same time. All right? Somebody says, I just don't understand that, Pastor. Don't try to. Just believe it because the word says it. All right? So that's how big our God is. There's another word that we use for God, and we say that he's omnipotent, that he's all-powerful. Again, that's because God is a spirit being, and he is the supreme. He is the most high God. There's another word that we use that we refer to God, and that is he's omniscient, in that he knows everything. Did you know God's never had a new thought a day in his life? You know, he's never thought of something and go, wow, I've never thought about that before. Because he knows everything. Okay? He knows it all. And listen, anything that you say or do, God doesn't go, whoo, I didn't see that coming. All right? When you mess up, God didn't say, boy, that caught me off guard. Jesus, did you know that was going to happen? That's not the way God operates. He knows it all, but yet he still loves us the way that he does. Isn't that awesome? So God is a spirit being. Now here's a huge one that I want you to get. Here's the next thing. God lives in you. As a born again believer in Jesus Christ, God lives in you. All right, let me show you a scripture. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15 says this. And then I'm reading from the Amplified. Anyone who confesses, acknowledges or owns, in other words, believes that Jesus is the Lord of their life, that Jesus is the Son of God. Look at this. God abides. He lives. He makes his home in him. And he, me and you, abide, live, and make our home in God. So if you are a follower of Jesus, if you have been born again, God himself has moved in on the inside of you. Now, I know we just got through talking about how big God is. And see, here's the crazy thing. We know that, and then we look at ourselves and we go, how can such a big God live in me? The way he does it is he comes to live inside that born again, recreated human spirit. It is so important that you understand that. So I want you to say this after me. Say, God lives in me. Take your finger and point it at you and say, God lives in me. Because I'm born again, he came to live inside me. He moved in. He makes his home in me. Amen. All right. So God lives on the inside of you. Now here's something very important that I want you to get. And I really didn't put this in your notes. I know sometimes when we do pray, anybody ever prayed and you felt like your prayer just kind of went, fell to the floor. I mean, just flat, okay? And you're thinking, man, did God even hear me? Okay, let me answer that question. Yes, he did. Here's what we've got to change in our mindset. God is not way far off somewhere in Oz, living in the Emerald City, waiting for you to show up. No. God is in heaven, but God lives on the inside of you as well by the Holy Spirit. So your prayer, listen to me, your prayer doesn't have to go any further than your nose. And if it comes out of your mouth, God hears it. Why? Because he lives in you. He lives in you. He lives in you. And here's the cool thing. He said in Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Can I say this to you? And I'm talking to me when I say this. If you want a little help to help you stop sinning, let me help you. The Bible says that we should awake to righteousness and sin not. All right? What that means is, can I just say it in plain English? Wake up to the fact that God, the most holy, righteous being, lives on the inside of you by his Holy Spirit. And if you will get that in your thinking and in your heart, it'll stop you from sinning. Why? Because you won't want to take God into your mess. Somebody said, well, does he go with me? Yes, he does. I'm going to say something to you, and it might shock you. If you're in the middle of sinning, God doesn't leave you. He doesn't sin, but he's right there with you. Now, why? Is he waiting to pounce on you with the baseball bat and say, why did you mess up? No. He's waiting there, hoping you will turn to him in that moment, and he can redeem you and save you and deliver you out of that situation. But God doesn't go, oh man, here we go. They heading down that path again. They fitting the sin, so we out. Bye. Call me when you get done, all right? And he goes over here somewhere, waits for you to get through with all your foolishness, and then you wake up one day and say, oh God, forgive me, forgive me. And God says, okay, here I come with my suitcases again. I'm going to move back in. That's not what happens. The Bible says if we will get a consciousness of the fact that God, by the Holy Spirit, lives in us, it will keep us from sinning. It'll help you, because here's why. Because when you love Jesus, you don't want to take Him in the middle of all of that. Am I helping anybody? All right. So it kind of helps you in your path to live a holy life, is when you realize that God lives in you. Now, here's something. I didn't put this in your notes, but it wouldn't hurt you to write it down in somewhere in the line or something. And that is this: we need to become God inside minded. We need to become God inside minded. I'm going to say it one more time. We need to become God inside minded. Now, here's why this is so important. One reason: when you face a need, or you face a crisis, or you walk into a situation where it looks like things are really going bad, you need to get out of your mind that, man, if we'll just hope and pray, if we'll just strike up enough courage and we can get this thing moving, and that maybe God will come in and His presence will be there and He will respond to us. No, God, can I say something to you? And I don't mean you to take it and for any of us to get arrogant with this, but can I say it this way? When you walked into the room in the middle of that situation, God walked into the room with you. And God is in me. So when you walk into a situation, no matter what that situation is, you can know God came in because I came in. See, I don't think you're hearing me. See, here's the thing. We got to change our thinking. Like, for instance, that when we all gather for church, that we got to struggle and we got to do all this work and maybe God will show up. No, God showed up when I walked in. God showed up when you walked in. And so when we all got together, we all brought God with us. Why? Because He lives in us. Now, I'm not saying you're God, all right? But God said, I dwell in them. That's one thing that God was always trying to get the Old Testament people, the children of Israel, to realize, is that the whole thing He wanted, the whole time they were wandering around in the wilderness, His whole goal, if you go back to the beginning, was this: so that I will be their God, they will be my people, and I can live in the middle of them. That's all He was after. So that whenever they faced a situation, they would know, God's right here with us, guys. We can overcome this enemy. I hope I'm helping somebody. Now, where does God live? Okay, see, y'all done forgot already. Where is God? He lives in us. All right? In you. Yes, amen. All right, now here's the next thing I want you to get. The Holy Spirit. Now, God lives in you through the person of the Holy Spirit, okay? So God, by the Holy Spirit, wants to help you and speak to you. He wants to help you and speak to you. Say this, say, the Holy Spirit wants to help me and speak to me. Say it again. The Holy Spirit wants to help me and speak to me. Somebody said, why are you doing it this way? Because I really need you to get this. Because we Christians, religion has kind of got us brainwashed a little bit to think that, you know, God's about half mad at you all the time. And He's probably doing that thing like we do where He's giving you the silent treatment. Okay, you know how we do. I'm mad at you, so I ain't talking to you. If I see you call me on the phone, decline. I ain't answering my phone. I don't want to talk to you right now. I ain't talking to you. You know, spouses, you know, I hope none of y'all, matter of fact, I'm just going to go out on a limb and believe that nobody in Spring Hill Church does this, but you get honked off at your spouse and you don't talk to them for a day or two or three or nine. Okay? And so you just ignore them. You know, they're trying to talk to you, and you're just like, talk to the hand, talk to the hand. Get out my face, okay? And see, that's why we think God does us. That he's just looking for an opportunity where he can cut the communication. Nope. God is looking for every opportunity to get into your life, to speak to your heart. And all he needs is just you to crack the door just a little bit and he'll step right in. He's not trying to get away from you. He's trying to get to you. Let's look at a couple of verses. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. Now this is a prayer, or actually it's a time when Jesus is with his disciples. He's not long before going to the cross, and he's having an intimate meeting with them, and he's sharing some things with them. And he said this, he said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Now see, the first helper is Jesus, because they had known him as their help for 3 years, 3.5 years. And so he's just got through telling him, I'm getting ready to go away, guys. And so I'm going to ask God to give you another helper, that he may abide with you how long? That he may abide with you how long? Okay. He says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive until they get born again, but because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, came into the earth and moved inside of believers. He came to live on the inside of us. So by the Holy Spirit, Jesus said he would be our helper. He will be your helper. So I want you to get this. You are never without help. If you are a believer, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are never without help. Never. Never, ever, ever are you without help. Now, in a couple other chapters over, in John chapter 16, same conversation, Jesus goes on and he tells the disciples, he said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, I know I'm sometimes not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I can read that whole two sentences there, and it comes across to me like Jesus said, the Holy Spirit wants to talk to me. And not only that, he wants to tell me about some private conversations that he and the Father have. Let me finish the verses and then I'll tell you how this works. It says, he, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, Jesus, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Now, I don't know that you're ready for this last sentence. I just don't know. I just don't know. Do you think you might be ready for this last sentence? Okay. Are you sure? He says this, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that the Holy Spirit will take of mine and declare it to you. Now, let me unravel these verses for you just a little bit. The first part, the first section that we read says this, and this is my paraphrasation, because there's other scriptures in Romans chapter 8 that say the same thing. That the Bible says that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, where he ever lives to make intercession for us. In other words, he and God are all the time talking about you and talking about what they did for you, what Jesus paid for you, the price that he paid, all that he's deposited down on the inside of you, how strong and anointed and mighty in Jesus you are. All of these things, this conversation is going on all the time. Well, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit hears these conversations, and the scripture says that we just read that whatever he hears, that will he speak, and he will tell you things to come. So you have the third member of the Godhead living down on the inside of you, and because he is a spirit and eternal being, he's also in the presence of the Father, hearing those conversations, and he's desiring to reveal those conversations to you so that you can be involved in those conversations. Now, here's what I don't think you're ready for. Jesus said, all things that the Father has are mine. Okay? There's not one thing that God possesses that Jesus does not possess. Isn't that the way you read that too? Okay? He said, all things that the Father has are mine. So everything that God has, Jesus has. Okay? Say that with me. Say everything God has, Jesus has. Okay, now hold that thought. He goes on to say, therefore I said that the Holy Spirit will take of mine and declare it to you. Okay, I don't know that you're ready for this. Everything that God has, Jesus has. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will take of everything that I have and reveal it to you. Meaning, you now have access to everything that God has. Oh, see, I told you, I don't think you got it, because, you know, I could hardly sit still when I was typing these scriptures, and I don't see how you could sit in your chair, because when I think about everything that God is, everything that he possesses, everything that makes him who he is, his love, his mercy, his grace, his kindness, his power, his anointing, everything that makes him who he is, he's given it to Jesus, and Jesus has turned right around and given it to us by the Holy Spirit. And he's waiting for opportunities to talk to you and tell you about those things. If we aren't operating in all that stuff, it ain't because he doesn't want to tell you about it. It's because we ain't listening. Now, little side note. Let's go on. Everything, or anything rather, that you receive from God will always be in line with his written word. Okay, so I just had to put this in there because I don't want anybody leaving out of here and you start hearing some crazy stuff and it's just way out there apart from the Bible, and you come in and you say, well, you know, the Lord told me da 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 da, and I'll be like, because that ain't what the book says. Everything that the Holy Spirit will speak to you in your heart will always line up with the book. It will always line up with the Word of God, the written Word of God. You're never going to hear the Holy Spirit say something to you that is contrary to what is in the book. All right? So let me show you a couple of scriptures. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, in the early part of this series, we read this verse, and we established that God and His Word are one. Somebody said, well, are you saying God is a book? No, I'm not saying God is a book. What God did is took His Word and through the hands of men recorded it for us. But God and His Word are one. Are we clear on that? 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 says this, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. So you will never hear God saying something unique and different than what Jesus is saying, who's saying something weird and unique from what the Word is saying. And then you got the Holy Spirit's just lost his mind, and he's out there telling people all kinds of crazy stuff. You're never going to find it. You're always going to find where everybody, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and Word are always in agreement. All right, are we clear on that? So don't come in here, because here's somebody was sharing with us a revelation that somebody got. And it's kind of funny when you think about it, but that Adam was 16 feet tall, and he rode the dinosaurs like horses. I just looked at them, and I said, I was thinking to myself, okay, I'm going to be real nice right here. I'm just going to smile and look at you like you crazy. And then I'm going to just moonwalk right on out, okay? Because the Bible doesn't say that, all right? So you're not going to get crazy revelations like that. And God isn't going to be revealing those types of things to you. Can I get an amen, all right? Now, one little other side note, and then we'll begin to wrap this up. Look at John chapter 14, verse 26. This is again in that conversation that we were talking about. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, whom the Father will send in my name, notice this, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Now, I want to say this to you. It is very important in your prayer life, and this is why I attach the word and prayer together, is because you need to be depositing the word down into your heart. Now, here's why. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, one of the things that he does, will bring up out of your heart what he's already said to you. So what the Holy Spirit's job is supernatural recall for you. So when you're in the middle of a situation, or you need to pray about something, or God is ministering to you, then what the Holy Spirit does is he dips down into the well of your heart and brings up to your thinking and to your consciousness what the Word has said. All right? Now here, I'm just going to give you the bottom line. If there's no Word in your heart, you're not giving the Holy Spirit anything to work with. Okay? That's just being real. So it's very important that you spend time in the Word. Somebody says, why do I need to read the Word? Because as you're reading the Word, you're getting it into your thinking, and it's going down into your heart. That's why I encourage you, get you a Bible reading plan where you're reading the Bible every day. Somebody said, well, do I have to spend hours in the Bible? No, you don't have to spend hours in the Bible. Start out with 10 or 15 minutes and read the Word of God. Now, let me say this to you, okay? Don't be reading and thinking about your Walmart list and everything else while you're trying to read. No, focus on what you're reading and think about it and get it down into your heart. Why? Because you're giving the Holy Spirit something to work with when you need it. You know, I say this often. If you will put the Word in your heart when you don't need it, it will be there when you do need it. That's why, you know, we make healing scriptures available. We make other scriptures available so you can be reading those when you're well and not sick. Why? Because all of us are faced with opportunities to deal with sickness and disease. So why not put that in your heart when you don't need it? So when you do need it, it'll be there. And the Holy Spirit will bring it up in your remembrance. Now, here's the last thing that I want to get to you. And this is so, so very important. And I actually, when I was preparing my message, I had a whole different order to this. And I believe the Holy Spirit led me to rearrange some stuff and put this very last. And here we go. The thing that you need to do is you must quiet yourself in order to hear from God. You need to quiet yourself so that you can hear from God. All right? Now, this is very, very important, especially in the day and time that we live today, where we have so many devices, so many sources of information, so many voices that can be speaking into our lives, where we've got social media giving us all kinds of information, about 90% of it not accurate, but anyway, it's giving us all this information. You need to learn how to quiet yourself and turn all of that stuff down so you can hear from God. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. Psalm 46, verse 10. David wrote this by the Spirit, and he said, be still. Everybody say, be still. Be still. Was anybody ever told that growing up? Be still. All right, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You know, I know people, they're great people. Just sweet people, but they don't know how to be still. They got to be moving all the time. They got to be doing something. They got to be going over here. They got to be doing this. They can't sit still. They don't know how to sit still. Now I know what my mama was trying to get me to do. Be still. All right? Let me show you another verse. Look at 1 Kings chapter 19. I want to read several verses out of this just to give you a little backstory real quick. Elijah the prophet has just gone, and this is where he built the altar, and the prophets of Baal came out and jumped around and danced, and nothing happened. And you remember they had the sacrifices on there, and he comes out and he prays, and all of a sudden the fire falls from heaven, consumes the sacrifices, the altar, the water that was in the ditch. And then Elijah rose up and slew the 400 prophets of Baal that were all gathered together. You remember this story? Okay. Well, Queen Jezebel, somebody said, I knew Jezebel was it. Jezebel, all right. Old Elijah, she was going to take his head off of his shoulders and kill him as the first opportunity that she got. So Elijah has this humongous victory, gets this threat from this Jezebel queen, and all of a sudden it sinks him into the pit of despair. And so he runs away and he flees and he goes and he's in a cave. And so that's where we catch him. And it says in verse 9, and there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? In other words, why have you run away? He said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and that they may seek, and they seek to take my life. Can I just add a little thing right here? One of the biggest deceptions depression will try and make into your life is tell you that you're all alone, that you're all by yourself. You're the only one that has ever experienced anything like this. And I love what God tells him later on. He said, no, you're not alone. There's 7,000 people that believe like you do. And so he goes on and the Lord speaks to him and he says, go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, look at this, a still small voice. And so it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Why? Because he finally heard God speak to him. Now here's something very important. God is not in the earthquake. He's not in the fire. He's not in the great wind. The problem is, and the reason we're not hearing from God is because God speaks to you in a still, small, quiet voice. Let me read to you 1 Kings 19:12 out of the New Living. It says, and after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, look at this, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. See, God is not going to yell at you above the noise in your life to try and get information to you, to try and talk to you, to try and have a conversation with you. If you want your life noisy, God takes a back seat and says, okay, when you're ready for me to talk to you, then turn all that down and I can talk to you. Because I do not compete with all of the distractions, all of the noise in our lives. The reason that we're not hearing from God is because everything else is so loud to us and God's trying to speak to us in a quiet whisper. Somebody says, why does he speak to us in a quiet whisper? I have to give credit to Stephen Furtick because I heard him say this and it's just so powerful. The reason that God speaks to you in a quiet whisper, in fact, come up here for a minute. I'm about done. Go stand on the other side for me over there, okay? See, if I didn't have this microphone on and I needed to say something to him, I got to talk loud so he can hear me, right? Now, if there was in the middle of us a whole bunch of noise, a whole bunch of distractions, all kinds of stuff going on, I'd have to talk really loud, wouldn't I, for him to be able to hear me? But God's already said, I don't talk to you and compete over that stuff. I speak to you in a gentle whisper. You want me to tell you why God speaks to you in a gentle whisper? Because we've already found out where God lives. Where does God live? He lives in you. When somebody is this close, they don't have to talk very loud. They can just speak to you like this, and you can hear every word that they're saying. That's why God speaks to you in a gentle whisper. Because when he's that close to you, he doesn't have to yell. The question is, are we listening? Somebody says, I never hear the Lord speak to me. Oh, really? You're not listening because he's endeavoring to speak to you, but it's always going to be in that quiet, gentle whisper. Thank you, bro. I want to challenge you this morning. I want to, everybody close your eyes and bow your heads with me for a second. I just want to challenge you because the Lord challenged me. The Lord said something to me this week in my prayer time, and you know, very often God speaks to me, and it's not this big, old, long, drawn-out dissertation. It's not two or three paragraphs. It might be something very simple, and as I was praying the other day, these three words spoke up just up out of my heart, not saying I heard voices. It came up out of my spirit, and he said this to me. He said, too much world, and I knew exactly what he meant. What he was saying to me is, and let me just say, I'm not living in sin. I don't go, you know, and do all kinds of crazy stuff. But there's too much noise. There's too much world. There's too much extracurricular things that are trying to compete for my attention, and I'm giving my ear to them. And so the Lord just challenged me to begin to evaluate. And I believe that's why he led me for this message to come back to you and say, is there something you need to turn down? Is there something that is distracting you? Is there something that has just got so much noise in your life right now that you're unable to hear that quiet whisper? Because here's the thing, if you'll learn how to turn down the noise, you'll hear the whisper. Somebody said, what do you mean? I want you to understand something. God is talking all the time. He's speaking all the time. But we just don't hear him. It's much like if an appliance messes up at my home and I can't get it to work, I don't call Duke Power and say, what's wrong with you guys? Why aren't you sending me any electricity? No, I find out that the electricity is coming in. It's just something is wrong on my end to be able to plug in and connect with it. And very often that's what's going on in our lives, is that we're just not connected to the source of who's trying to communicate to us. I want to challenge you this morning to evaluate your life, evaluate your heart, and begin to look at your life and say, is there something that I need to turn down? Is there a distraction that has become so great that I'm not hearing from God like he wants me to hear from him? Heavenly Father, I pray for every single person under the sound of my voice right now. Father, I thank you for dealing and ministering to each and every one of us to bring us to a place where we can hear from you, because you desire to speak to our hearts, bring light and revelation and light and illumination to us, Father, so that we can walk in what you have planned for us, that the good things that you have in store for us, the victories that are ahead of us, Father, you want us to walk in each and every one of them. But Father, we have to hear that gentle whisper. And so I thank you, Father, for speaking to our hearts right now, in Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, let me give you a couple of questions. You might be here today, and I've talked about God living in you, and as a born-again believer, you're a new creation and all of that. But, you know, just thinking in your heart, you're not sure where your relationship with God is, and you're not sure whether you even have a relationship with God. Or you might be here and you know you've given your heart to Christ at some point in your life, but you know your heart's grown cold towards the things of God, and you're not walking with Jesus like you need to. couple things I want you to know. First of all, God loves you tremendously. He has already paid the price for you. Jesus shed his blood some 2,000 years ago and died on a cross so that we could be in a relationship with him. So the work has already been done. The easy part, if you will, is on us to just open our hearts and receive him. And it's not about joining Spring Hill Church. It's not about finding religion. It's just about you simply opening your heart and saying, Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you were raised from the dead, and I surrender my life to you, and I make you the Lord of my life. It's really that simple. You might be here, and again, your heart's grown cold towards the things of God. You know you've given your heart to Christ at some point, but the thing that I want you to know is God's not mad at you, and you haven't messed up so badly that God doesn't want you. The devil's going to try and lie to you and tell you that, but I want you to know today, Jesus loves you, he cares for you, he's pursuing after you right now. And all you have to do is stop, turn your heart towards him, and he'll receive you, he'll cleanse you, and give you a brand new start. I'd love to pray with you today if that's a situation. You need to give your heart to Christ for the first time, or you need to recommit your life to the Lord. I'm not going to embarrass you, make you stand up, or do anything like that. But with every head bowed and nobody looking around, I want to invite you today to surrender your heart to Christ, and by letting me pray for you. And the way that I know you need prayer is just by you simply raising your hand and saying, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to make sure my relationship with God is where it needs to be. Church, if you believe in what we're doing, will you please pray this prayer with me? Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe with all my heart that you died for me. I believe you were raised from the dead. Jesus, come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Cleanse me of my past. Give me a brand new start. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you that I am brand new, that I am clean. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thanks once again for tuning in to the Spring Hill Church podcast. We hope that you have been blessed by today's message. If you would like more information about the church, please feel free to visit us at springhill.cc.